All right, Psalm number 41, fellas, and we'll begin reading this morning in verse number 4. Said, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. We have there both the Lord's care and the Lord's cure for the soul of man. He can heal the souls of men. He is a sympathizing Savior, and there is a balm in Gilead that can save and heal the souls of mankind. He said in verse 5, for mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? My Lord, that is strong words.
Amen.
Now, if we prayed that prayer today, we'd be labeled a bigot or a hate monger. But David prayed that prayer and prayed and asked the Lord when this individual would die and his name be completely wiped out of the earth and off the presence of the earth and out of David's mind and out of his life. And he said in verse number 6, and if he come to me, he speaketh vanity. That is this enemy in verse number 5. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. Long tongue man. We talk about the long tongue women, but David's talking about a long tongue man. And he said, all that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise up my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. No doubt David, when he wrote this, was a sick man in body. And this betrayer felt as if he had David in a position where he would arise no more. That he had him whooped. And then in verse number 9 would be our text for this morning. Yea, mine old familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word today. Father, help us now in the Sunday school hour. I do pray that you'll give us enlightenment here and understanding. And Lord, that you'll prepare our hearts as men, as children of God, for that which lies ahead. Knowing, Lord, that the great deceiver has gone forth, and many through his deceptions shall be betrayed and come short of the glory of God. I pray that you'll help us and bless us and use us this morning as only God can. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Fellas, I want to kind of just speak for a little while this morning. Probably not get as excited as Brother Hall normally does. It's kind of hard to get excited when you're on something negative. When you're preaching positive, it's easy for me to get stirred up in my soul about the Lord. But when you're on a negative note, it's not always an easy thing to get excited and stirred up. But this portion of Scripture is in the Bible, and we dare not bypass it. It's in the course and the pathway of our teachings of Sunday school, and we certainly don't want to pass it by. And by the way, when we started in Psalm 1, the Lord knew that we'd be in Psalm 41 today. Nothing's ever taken him by surprise. So I want to speak for a little while on the thought of the kiss of betrayal. A kiss of betrayal using verse number 9 as our text verse. Now, if you remember, as I mentioned last week, the psalm here has its prophetic fulfillment in the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ by Judas Iscariot. And if you have any doubt to that, we can compare verse 9 to John and his gospel there, where the Lord was in the upper room with his disciples in John chapter number 13. And I believe it's in verse number 18, where the Lord said, I speak not of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And so the Scripture here is prophetic of our Lord's betrayal by Judas Iscariot. And the Lord mentions that fulfillment in John chapter 13 and verse number 18. Now notice too, not only did Judas, as well as David's betrayer, betray him with a kiss, but he also betrayed him with a kick. The Lord did when Judas came to him in the garden, he said, "Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" But in kissing, he lifted up his heel against the Lord. And fellas, it is one thing, to betray somebody. But according to our text, this man that betrayed David as well as Judas betraying the Lord was a man that had sat at David's table. The man that mine old familiar friend that did eat bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And so not only did he betray him with a kiss, but he betrayed him with a kick. Now, it's one thing to be betrayed, but it's another thing to kick a man after you've done that. You know, it's kind of like fighting. When I was a boy growing up, we tried to abide by the rules in fighting. If you knocked a fella down, you were honorable enough to let him get up before you knocked him down again. And if you was a little fella like me and got knocked down, most of the time you didn't get back up. Say amen right there. But you never kicked a man while he was down. But according to verse number 8 and 9, David there had some sort of a sickness, and his betrayer kicked him while he was more or less down and out of it, in that down and out condition. And just like even our Lord, we know on His divine side, our Lord was all-powerful. But Judas betrayed Him, and in His deity as well as humanity, our Lord submitted Himself to the arrest that took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so what I'm saying is that in the eyes of Judas, he betrayed the Lord while the Lord was more or less in a weakened condition. He not only kissed Him, but he kicked Him as well while he was down. Now, I mentioned earlier, just a few minutes ago in the psalm, that it is prophetic. But it also has its occasion in the life of David. That is, that this psalm, literally, as all psalms, had their place or their occasion in the life of the writer. And I don't think that many men would disagree, any students of the Bible, would disagree that David wrote Psalm 41 in light of the rebellion of his own son Absalom. Now you can read about that in 2 Samuel chapter number 15 through chapters number 18. You find there where Absalom sat at the gate of the city. You know, he had killed his own brother and had fled the city. And through Joab and his words to David, Absalom had been allowed to come back into the city of Jerusalem. But in coming back, he found an occasion against his own daddy and sat down in the gate of the city, and it was there that Absalom won the hearts of God's people that led to the rebellion against the king, or the insurrection and the trying to overthrow the kingdom of David. Now somebody said, "Brother Hall, surely to goodness, David is not referring to his own son in Psalm 41:9. No, Absalom there is not the betrayer. You see, folks, fellas, a betrayer never does anything, never betrays you outwardly and openly. What Absalom was doing was outwardly. He didn't try to cover it up. He sat at the gate of Jerusalem every day. And when the people would come in to see the king and to be judged of a matter, Absalom would stand and do obeisance to those people and would let them know right quickly that if he was the one making judgment in the land, that all men would be treated fairly. And David, he didn't do this behind closed doors. David knew quite well what was going on in the life of Absalom. But you know, when the conspiracy got strong and the rebellion went into full effect, then someone told David, they said, Ahithophel is among the conspirators. Now, if you know anything about Ahithophel, he was David's chief counselor. That is the betrayer, gentlemen. Not the son, but the counselor. He's the man that sat in the household of David, at David's own table, ate of David's own bread, enjoyed the blessings of the palace, enjoyed the prestige, enjoyed the power, enjoyed everything that came with the office that he held. But when he got an occasion, Ahithophel betrayed David just like Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and I want to mention this morning, by way of introduction, some parallels that I see between Judas Iscariot and his betrayal of the Lord and Ahithophel and his betrayal of David. Now, fellas, hang on just a minute. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, we're not expecting to be betrayed. I'm telling you, gentlemen, that somewhere down the line, there is a great possibility that every man in this room can be betrayed by somebody. Someone will betray your trust. Someone that you have confidence in will fail you. Someone that has counseled you will turn on you. Someone that you have had fellowship with will depart from you. Someone that has fought alongside you may very well turn on you and fight against you. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, that'll never happen. Fellas, it happens more than we know about. And it certainly happens more than just a member in the church betraying the pastor. That's right. I know men that have been betrayed by their wives. I know women that have been betrayed by their husbands. I know men that have been betrayed by brother-in-law and sister-in-law. Somebody said, now, oh, preacher, these things will never happen. Hey, I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, that the Lord made the statement before His departure from this earth that there will come a day when your foes and your enemies will be them of your very household. And the reason is the Lord did not come, fellas, in His first advent to bring peace upon the earth. Oh, when He was born, the angels and the seraphim sang, glory in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But the only peace that our Lord brought in His first advent was the peace that He gives you and I as being regenerated by the Holy Ghost down in our hearts. We've got peace in our hearts, but this world knows nothing about the peace of God. And I'm getting, what I'm getting at is this, that our Lord has brought a sword, and that the sword is an instrument of division, neighbor, and homes are being divided. I know homes today where one mate is saved and the other is lost. I know homes and families today where brothers are saved and other brothers are lost. And I'm telling you, it will cause problemas in the family. Amen and amen. And you'll find down the line that somebody will betray you. I'm telling you, there's some things going on in my family right now that if somebody had told me 30, 35 years ago that that had happened, I'd have never believed it. I spoke with two of my brothers in the last week. And would you believe that my family, my brothers, are fighting over a little old knotty hillside in Indiana with a little four-room house on it that, son ain't big enough to whoop a tomcat in it. And the foundation's falling down from under it. It's been there for years. The roof's falling off of it. The houses are falling down. And the land, it's a poor, bless God, a rabbit have to pack a knapsack to get across it. It ain't but 2 acres. And I have got brothers that are quarreling and bickering and fighting over 2 little acres of land with a little old knotty house on it. And friends, they will betray one another for a measly $1,000 or $2,000. They will become bitter enemies of one another over a mere morsel of money. Amen to God. And will sever their fellowship. And if they could, some of them would probably break off their relationship with others. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They called me and asked me what I thought about it. I said, I think y'all a bunch of hellions. Amen. Bunch of devils. Bless your heart. Amen. One of my brothers said, well, I'm a, if it's up to me, I'm a selling the place. And said, y'all rest of you can do what you want, but if one of the other boys buys it, I want my money. I want my part out of it. God help us, brethren. Now, I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, that if blood can be separated and fellowship be dissolved in kindred, don't you tell me, bless your heart, especially at the power Satan has in the world today, that Christian men and women are beyond turning against one another and betraying one another for their own prosperity and benefit. They'll do it. They'll do it, son. Amen. I'm telling you, old Judas Iscariot, no doubt, felt like that betraying the Lord was for his own prosperity. 30 pieces of silver. You know what it was the price of? A servant. You could buy a slave in those days for 30 pieces of silver. Huh? That's the price of a slave. But I've got news for you. That's biblical. Because our Lord was a servant, thanks be unto God. He came to wash the hearts of the saints with His blood and the feet of the saints with living water and gird Himself and be a servant to the children of God. I know that's right. And so the Scripture was right when Judas done that, but it didn't make it right in Judas's life. I mean, the truth, the reality is there. But it didn't make it right in Judas's life. I don't know what Ahithophel hoped to profit from betraying David. Brother Brown done a study on it, and I forget exactly what he said some months ago, but he was telling me that somehow David had put to death a member of his family from back in Saul's reign or something, and Ahithophel felt like this was his opportunity to get even with David. I'm telling you, gentlemen, that a betrayer will stand in the shadows very quietly, keeping his mouth shut until an opportunity arises. And when he feels like he's got the upper hand, buddy, he'll put the slammer on you if he gets a chance to do it. Amen. I know that's right. The moral of the story is you better beware. Amen. You better beware and take heed and watch and keep your eyes open and pray and keep your heart in tune with God. Gentlemen, we're living in perilous times. Amen. I mean, we're living in times. I'm talking about we're living in one of the most horrible hours I believe that's ever been lived in America since, or been lived in the world since the Dark Ages. I've never in my life. I probably won't get on this, and I may get on it again in preaching, but I'm telling you, it's a burning in my heart, something I got to say. And buddy, I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, that the God of this world today is sports. Men shall become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, I'm telling you, there are people today that if you say anything against the wildcats, pussycats, buddy, they'll cut your throat. I'm talking about men that's supposed to love God. Now, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to offend Billy back there, and I wouldn't do it for nothing in the world, but God, that day they was operating on Brother Billy, I sat out there in that waiting room with another preacher that was there, and Billy's boy, and all that other preacher could talk about was NASCAR. He knew every NASCAR driver's name. He knew what races they'd won. He knew when they finished. He knew when there was a running next and all about them. I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, that, hey, look here, buddy, and there's men that will betray the goodness of God and the righteousness of the saints over their God, which is the God of this world, and it's pleasure today, and pleasures are wrapped up in sports. Son, it bothers me. I just noticed a headline in the paper the other day. We've been looking for some furniture that we could buy through rummage sales and things to fix up our house, and we kindly watched the ads in the paper, and there was a big headline. There's a baseball catcher, a Pizzy Ozzie or something that played for the Los Angeles Dodgers. They traded him to the New York Mets. Are you ready for this now? They signed that man to a 7-year contract for $91 million. My wife said, that's almost $1 million. That's over $1 million a year. I said, honey, I didn't say $9 million for 7 years. I said $91 million for 7 years. I'm telling you, buddy, we're there. this world is not a friend of ours. And this world, hey, and worldlings that are in love with this world will betray the saints of God. And friend, they're not sitting on a bar stool all the time. I've got news for you. Some of them ball lovers and pleasure seekers are sitting on the pews at the house of God. Huh? We're in sad shape.
Yes, sir,
amen. And we're in sad shape. Now listen to the parallel. And I'll try to run through these and we'll get finished. I didn't mean to get off on that. I wanted to save it for preaching. Because there's a place in preaching for it. Huh? But the parallel, and I may mention the scriptures, but I may not read them, all right? The parallel, and there is a parallel between Ahithophel and Judas Iscariot that amazes me, gentlemen, in their betrayal. Just a couple of things here. Both the Lord and David, the night of their betrayal, were accompanied by their, and this ought to help some of you. They were accompanied by their earliest followers. When our Lord went to the garden, he went there with 11. The very first converts, gentlemen, that he made in his ministry. Peter, James, John, and the other 8, minus Judas Iscariot. Those that followed him early. When David was run out of Jerusalem and went up toward the Mount of Olives barefoot and his head covered, he had the Pelethites and the Cherethites with him. He had the 600 men with him that were with him in Gath. When he came out of Gath of the Philistines. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, what are you saying? Hey, I'm saying those that were his early followers, gentlemen, were those that remained loyal and faithful to David. Now, I'm going to say this, and I don't say this to any of you men in here. God knows my heart. But brethren, I'm telling you, hey, I've seen a lot of men come since I've been the pastor of this church. And the majority of the ones that's come is gone. Huh? I'm going to tell you the ones that are still here are the ones that were here when Brother Hall got here. And a few that have been saved since Brother Hall's been here. But the majority of them that come here after I come here have done whistle toodaloo and went down the road. And I'm just simply saying there is a bond there, brother, between people. That is hard to be broken. It's hard to be broken. And most, honestly, most people today, now, God, most people today are not looking for a church that stands on the Word of God and preaches truth and will not compromise the Bible. Most men today are looking for a place or a church that satisfies them in what they're looking for. That's right. Our Lord had the 11, and David had the 600. Both of these men, both were prepared to do the will of God regardless of the cost of them. And you know the Lord's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the Lord began to pray, and his sweat turned as great drops of blood, and he said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, my will, but thy will be done. Yes. And even in the life now of David, when David was departing from the city of Jerusalem, he said in 2 Samuel 15:25, said, and the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what are you saying? I'm saying both of these men, the night they were betrayed, gentlemen, and were at their lowest ebb in their soul, were prepared to let God's will be done. Hey, somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't believe I could handle it if somebody betrayed me down at the church house, or a family member or a loved one betrayed me. I don't believe I could handle it. Hey, gentlemen, it might be the will of God for it to take place, that God might be glorified in it. Buddy, I'll tell you. Somebody said, well, it wasn't God's will for Judas to betray him. He was the son of perdition before the foundation of the world. Don't tell me it didn't bring glory. Why, those men come after Jesus and said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, Emmanuel said, I am he. And when he said, I am, they went away backwards and fell down. And like a lamb led to the slaughter, he walked into Pilate's judgment hall and was condemned and died the death of a thief, that you and I might be saved by the grace of God. Yes, I submit to you, gentlemen, that the betrayal brought honor and glory to the Son of God. There may be in there, just like old David. Son, I'm going to tell you something. You don't think it took a lot of grace on David's part? Not only his own son, but a man he had sat down and dipped with and eat with and supported and give his life to, turn on him. I'm going to say this. There's a man worked in our church here, worked in our ministry. And he betrayed me on a Friday night. And the Sunday before he betrayed me, he sat at Shoney's with me and my wife and eat lunch with us and laughed and cut up with us and smiled and talk like we were best friends. And on Friday night, he made a statement. He said, I'm not going to let any preacher stand between me and my friends. Do you know what? I don't know if I wrote this down or not in my notes, but you know what the bearded prophet called the man of this verse? He said, he's a snake in the grass.
Amen.
You better watch your step, gentlemen. And if it comes down to the fact that some close friend, family member, loved one, or acquaintance was to betray you, turn sour, walk away from you, you better be prepared in your heart to say, the will of God be done. Even if it costs you what appears to be the dearest thing to your life. David was on the threshold of losing an entire kingdom and going back to the wilderness and fighting for survival as he did in the days of Saul. But he had enough grace in his heart to say, Lord, if that's your will, then let it be done. Right. I ain't got to my message yet. Hey, both of these men, are you ready? Both of these men, on the night of their betrayal, David and the Lord, both of them passed through the Mount of Olives. David, on his ascent, said in verse number 30 of chapter 15 of 2 Samuel, David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and he wept as he went, and his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. Sounds like the Lord in Gethsemane to me. His sweat became as great drops of blood. No doubt the tears streamed down. Burden of the entire human race had been laid upon the Son of God. And there in the garden at the Mount of Olives, he wept bitter tears for the souls of men. And there is no doubt that he had Judas on his heart. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, he was a devil. I'm here to tell you, brother, that friendships cannot be forgotten readily. It takes a while to get over some things. I still find myself every now and then asking my wife, wonder why we don't, and I just, as a word, I say, wonder why we don't ever run into any of the old cronies that we used to know. We go out to restaurants and eat, and I never run into any of them. Miss Hall always says, I'm glad we don't. I'm glad we don't too, but the hurt's still there, gentlemen. Our Lord in Gethsemane broken. David departing Jerusalem broken. But here is a difference, and that just now come to me. David was leaving his throne, and Jesus was getting ready to take one.
Amen.
Woo! You can get a hold of that, and that'll help you.
Amen.
Huh? Hey, both were broken.
Both were bereaved. Both hearts were broken. Hey, and both these men found succor or help. They were strengthened in their hour of need. Both of them were. The Lord, when He prayed in Gethsemane, the Bible said that an angel came and strengthened him. And old David, when he was a praying, or when he was a leaving Jerusalem, in chapter number 17, the Bible said in verse 26 that all Israel and Absalom pissed in the land of Gilead. And it came to pass when David was in Mahanaim that Shobai the son of Nahash and Rabbi the children of Ammon and Machir the son of Amiel of Lodibar and Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogelim and all these, they brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn, beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat, for they said the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, gentlemen, that when we're betrayed and our hearts are broken, I'm glad. Thanks be unto God that God's always got somebody to succor us and strengthen us and encourage us and be a blessing to us in our hour of need. Have you ever been there? I don't know if you've ever been there or not. I don't know if you've ever sat down in the lonely confines of your home with your hand, face buried in the palm of your hands, knowing that somebody you dearly love has turned their heart against you and set their affections on somebody else, and folks that you trusted and had confidence in has stabbed you in the back, and you've sat there brokenhearted, and somebody come along with an encouraging word and help lift you up and bless your heart and strengthen you and encourage you and get you back on the right track for God. I'm telling you, brethren, I have been so low that I'd have to get on a stepladder to tie my shoes. Now somebody said, well, Brother Hall, I ain't never got that low. I have. But if I can keep from it, I don't intend to let you know about it.
Amen.
I ain't going to drag you down with me.
Right. Amen.
Oh, happy day. Brethren, when we can realize that all things work together for our good. Although it breaks our hearts, yet it blesses our heart at the same time. God's able to do that. I'm telling you, Christians are the only people that can weep out of one eye and laugh out of the other one. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, that's right, ain't it? Weep through the eyes and shout with the lips the praises of God. Weep over the trial and shout over the blessing. Weep over the traitor and praise God for the blessing. That's about ready to follow it. Hallelujah to God. That's right. I'll tell you something else about both these men. Both of them ultimately had victory.
Amen.
3 days after this betrayal, the Lord got up out of the grave, gentlemen, with victory.
Yes,
sir, with power over death and victory in his soul. And I'm glad, thank God, he's got that same victory. The oil that will come unto him, come unto God through him. Hallelujah to God. And I'll tell you, it wasn't a few days later that old David marched right back into the city the devil had run him out of. Now, I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. I almost talked this morning. Expect something good from doing right. You see, old David just done right, and he said all along. He said, "Well, said if the Lord brings me back, he said that'll be good for me. And if he don't, that's all right. Even when old Shimei went along on the hill and threw stones and cast stones at old David, Abishai said, let me take out my sword and take that dog's head off. And David said, put your sword up. Said, there'll be no more trouble in Israel today. He said, maybe the Lord. He said, if my own son has been allowed of God to curse me, maybe God has allowed this man to curse me. But here's what David said. He said, maybe the Lord will requite me good for his cursing. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad God looks on our pitiful condition, gentlemen, when we're slandered and cursed and reviled, and out of it, God is able to requite us good if we'll do right in the midst of it. Jesus just kept doing right. David just kept doing right. He never got bitter. I'm telling you, an old bitter spirit and a bitter heart out of somebody hurting you or saying something that kind of offends you in your heart or hurts you a little bit. I'm telling you, friend, the best thing to do is trust God and go on and do right, that God will bless you through the doing right. Somebody said, you preaching a merit salvation. I ain't talking about salvation. I'm talking about after we've been saved. And yes, sir, I'm telling you, friend, there are times when doing right will merit us the goodness of God simply for standing for right and being right for the glory of God. It ain't wrong to do right. And it ain't wrong to be kind. Man, it's taken me 20-some years to learn that lesson, that it's never wrong to be kind to somebody. Son, they jacked me around on them stair parts over there at that house. I mean, buddy, honest before the Lord, I've only used two rows. I can't even use them. The only thing that I've been able to use out of that stair parts, a guy come and measured it, and everything he brought down there, the only thing that I've been able to use out of the whole mess was about 12 or 14 little old doodads to go on the side. The step treads are no good. The risers no good. Handrails is no good. The fillets no good. This no good. That no good. The balusters, none of them worked. I've called them 3 or 4 times. I mean, son, it has been... I called them every day and told them, I said, well, I need something now to start here. You didn't send me a starting cap to start here and go over to the wall again. And the stuff come. I said, hot diggity dog, I got it. And I opened them up. And you know what they give me? 2 tandem caps. And there wasn't either one of them a starter. There's both an in-betweener. And I said, under God, I can't use it. They done fouled up again. Miss Hall said, I'd get on the phone. I'd call 1-800 number. And I'd tell them people to get somebody over here right now and get this mess straightened out. I wouldn't pay them a dime. I wouldn't do this. And I thought in my mind, I'm going to call that 1-800 number and say, folks, I really appreciate the good business. Hallelujah to God. Y'all better give me, but I got one more problem. I tell you, it's never wrong, gentlemen, to be kind and do right. Never. Never. And here's the thing, really, that got me thinking on this parallel. Gentlemen, do you know what Judas done when his plot was uncovered and his scheme was revealed? Do you know what Ahithophel done? Ahithophel, when Hushai gave counsel and it didn't agree with Ahithophel's, and Absalom said, the good counsel of Ahithophel has been overruled by the counsel of Hushai. Oh, Ahithophel headed for his house, set it in order, and hung himself. When Judas Iscariot, when he went to the chief priest and said, I betrayed the innocent blood, and they said, what is that to us? He threw the 30 pieces of silver down and went out and hanged himself. Now, I'm going to show you the difference right here between a lost man and a saved man. There was two men, my friend, that when they were taken in a fault and knew that their little plot and scheme of betrayal was revealed and made known, and Ahithophel didn't even try. He just went out and hanged himself. Old Judas tried. He tried to repent, brethren. He tried to repent. He brought the 30 pieces. They said, what is that to us? And he brought the 30 pieces of silver down and threw the money down. He said, I don't want the money. It's blood money. I can't live with the money. And I believe with all my heart, I don't know how much time elapsed between that and the time he went out and hanged himself, but I believe old Judas tried in his mind and heart to get right with God and repent. But just like Esau, there was no place of repentance for that man, brother. And the conviction and the power of God was so weighty upon his mind, he couldn't escape the thoughts of his heart and what he had done and the cruelty of his spirit. And he went out, and rather than get right with God, he went out. He couldn't face Jesus. He couldn't face the disciples. He couldn't face himself. He couldn't face his family. And he went out and hanged himself because of it. I'm telling you, you better be careful. You better be careful, friend, of running your mouth and of betraying innocent blood and speaking evil and slandering people. It may lead, my friend, to the fact that God would leave you to yourself. And if God ever leaves you to yourself, you're in a mess, my friend. Amen to God. If He ever leaves you alone, you're in a terrible fix and a terrible mess. And you're subject to do anything. I'm going to show you the difference there. Those two men couldn't make it. But on the other hand, there's a man said, young lady, you're mistaken. I don't know that man. And just a little while later, a man said, surely, you're one of them. Said, your speech, it bewrayeth thee. I tell you, I don't know the man. Now, I've already told that girl I don't know it. I'm telling you, buddy, I don't know it. Just a little while later, surely you're one of them. Blankety blank. I don't know him. I've told the girl, I've told you, and I've told him. I don't know the man. I've never met the man. I have no acquaintance with the man. Oh, but it wasn't a betrayal. It was a denial. And there's a difference, gentlemen. Get a hold of this. Look right here. Peter, right before that, said, Lord, I'm ready to die with thee. I'd never forsake thee. Boy, my wife asked me this morning, said, what do you think? And she's a teaching on that this morning. She didn't know what I was on. Hallelujah to God. She said, what do you think about Peter and his denial? I mean, he denied the Lord. She said, what do you think about the fact that Jesus said, when thou art converted, you go strengthen the brethren? I said, I'm going to tell you what I think about it, buddy. There was a man. Hey, aren't you glad that Jesus looks on the heart rather than on the outward appearance? Now, I'm telling you, friend, although with the lips, old Peter said, I don't know the man. Yet Jesus knew down in his heart that what he said was true. He said, I'm prepared to die for you. I've got news for you. Not only was old Peter prepared to die for it, hallelujah to God, Peter did die for it. And they crucified him upside down. I'm telling you that Jesus looks on the heart and knows the heart, friend. And sometimes we'll let our alligator mouths overload our prayer sheet backsides and say things we ought not to say. But I'm glad Jesus looks on the heart and knows our intentions, whether they be good or evil. So we better be careful what we say. But sometimes we do slip up and say things like Peter that we ought not to say. And I'm glad that when we do, God knows the intentions of our heart and the motives of our heart. Huh? Now bear with me. I'm about done. Hey, their motive. I mean the plot. There was a plot. Not only the parallel, but the plot. There was a plot against old David there in Psalm 41. He said in verse 5, my enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die? Right there's the plot, gentlemen. Hey. It was their nature to speak evil. The bearded prophet said, it is not possible that the child of God could escape them. Just like the viper that fastened on Paul's hand. Son, I'm telling you, in Acts 28, that viper come out, boy, and latched on Paul's hand. Same thing. Opportunity to destroy the man of God. And listen what it says. Listen what the bearded prophet. He said, the better the man, the more likely and the more venomous the slander. Son, nobody's ever been slandered like our Lord.
Amen.
You look at the great men of the Bible that have been slandered by the tongue and spoken evil of others. Abraham, Moses,
Amen.
David,
Amen.
Joshua, our Lord, Paul.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something, fellas, but none of them were ever slandered like our Lord. You know why? Because he's a better man of all of them.
Yeah.
Woo! Somebody said, what about Solomon? He was a good one, but Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. I'm here to tell you, buddy, our Lord was so holy, so righteous, so perfect, so loving, so kind. I'm telling you, friend, going about doing good, that every evil tongue that could lashed out at him, pointed their fingers, slandered him, and ultimately condemned him to death when they cried out, away with this man and crucify him. But I'm glad, thank God, the grave couldn't hold him down. And 3 days later, he come up out of the grave, thank God, with victory over hell and death and every devil that's ever been inhabited in this world we're living in. And in hell below too, bless your heart. Son, somebody said, was he a good man? Yeah, and much more. Somebody said, was he a man? Yep, 100% man. I'm going to tell you where I put him in the superlative degree, son. None better.
Come on. Yeah, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Burton said, evil tongues are busy tongues, and they never deal in truth. Their slander, their plot, we see in their plot their slander. We see in their plot their smooth words. He said, and if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. Everything he's got to say is empty. All he wants to talk about, coon hunting, deer hunting, basketball. About some little frivolous mess. And if he says anything at all spiritual, it's so smooth. Why, Brother Jerome, it is good to see you this morning. God bless you, my brother.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something. That's wrong, Brother George. Get right with God. Get off that stupid truck and be in church on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Hello, Brother Steve. It's a blessing to be in a family, have a brother like that old Armenian back there. But listen here, he's a real good guy. Let me tell you something, boy. If he had the right way, God, he'd quit that job and come to church on Sunday night. I got him. And see how kind I was. I told you I'm a changing. They're smooth words. He speaketh vanity. Hey, look here. Just like this fella is just like a fox that visits a sick little lamb. You sweet little old thing. The fox knows he ain't going to get him no living lamb. David was diseased, verse 8 and 6. You sweet little thing. I'll be glad when you get well. I hope they never get well. Lamb chops and lamb stew for a month. Folks, that's exactly how a slander is. A betrayer is.
Amen.
His little smooth words, he'll talk good with his lips. But, buddy, he can't wait for you to die to have a meal out of you. He can't wait to get to a place where he can have a meal out of you. Chew you up, bless God, like a dog chewing on a hound bone. I've got to hurry. They're smooth words. I found this little story. I want to read it to you. And you got to pay close attention to it, gentlemen, if you're going to get it. You got to pay close attention to it. Because I changed some of the words called sin English words, old English. Who said, this fella in his smooth words is like a fowler. That's a fella that goes out bird hunting. Pheasant hunter. Always getting on them sports, ain't it? It's like a fowler in a sharp, frosty morning. Going out to hunt a little deer. No. On a sharp, frosty morning. Having taken several birds for which he had long watched. He began to take up their nets and nipping the birds on the head, and he laid them down. In other words, when he caught that little bird, picked it up, bump, he'd kill it, lay that little bird down. Now, listen to the story. And a young child, noting the tears trickling down the cheeks by reason of the extreme cold, said to her mother, said, Mommy, certainly that man is such a kind, compassionate man. For look at the tears. He's only catching his meal for the day, but yet he's got such love for those little birds that it's brought tears to his eyes. And the wise mama says, sweetheart, said, don't look at the tears in his eyes. Look to the thumping of his fingers. And gentlemen, the moral of that story is, big crocodile tears don't mean a flip of a used booger. And I've got news for you. For the most part, most of the time, they don't even really regulate or reveal what's in the heart of man.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what reveals what's in the heart of man. Frosty morning, tears on the cheeks, egg-sucking little bird. Supper tonight, breakfast in the morning. I'm going to tell you what reveals. It's what a man does.
Amen.
His actions, buddy. That's what tells you what somebody is. Their lips. I've had them to tell me everything. Oh, I'm going to get right, preacher. When? Oh, I'm going to be in church. When?
Amen.
I love Jesus. Hey, God. And 5 minutes later, are you listening to what I'm saying? I've got to quit. And they're spreading a gossip. Look at verse 6. And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. You know what's first? Now, he telleth it. Get a hold of that. When he goeth abroad, when he goes away from me, he tells. He comes into my chamber where I'm sick and goes out and tells everything that he saw in here. My weaknesses, anything he can to slander me. Fellas, you better be careful. Those visitors visiting you, they may just be looking for a weakness in your life to take and go out and talk to somebody else about you. Listen what Spurgeon says. He said, a little fault is made much of. People talk a whole lot about a fault. He said, of the slip of the tongue is liable. A mistake, a crime. And if a word can bear two meanings, the worse is always fathered upon it. In other words, if something can be taken in two different ways, somebody that wants to talk about you will always look at the worst about it. Right? Now, I really believe this fellow running for state senator, Dan McGarry, he said he believed in legalizing growing hemp to make rope and stuff with. And even believed possibly in legalizing marijuana for medical purposes. Now, they took that thing and they run with it. This man is a doper. He believes in raising dope. But he's got a child dying of leukemia. And the doctors have recommended that baby that would help relieve the pain. And you don't know what you'd do, gentlemen, in your heart if one of your babies was suffering like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm not in favor of raising dope, selling dope, legalizing dope in no way. Are you listening to me? But the other crowd jumped on the bandwagon. And what the other crowd don't tell you is, well, he believes in somebody that's dying smoking dope. But on the other hand, I'm not going to tell you that I believe in killing babies. I'm telling you, gentlemen. I'm telling you, words today, you better weigh words out, what somebody's really saying, before you make any rash decisions about them. Huh? Then their secrecy. He said, they go about, they telleth it in verse 7, all that hate me whisper together against me their little secrecy. They spy, meets these little old comrades in a secret place to tell them everything that's going on. And it said, all of them, they're in unity. And then their ungodliness, he said, they hate me. And then their scheme is unfolded. He said in verse number 8 and 9, David found the scheme. And this thing's got a very sad, well, it's got a sad conclusion on their part. Because they said he's sick and he'll rise up no more. Gentlemen, that's the same thing they said about the Lord. Amen. But 3 days later,
yes,
his betrayer said, which was really the devil, said, I've got him. He'll rise up no more. But buddy, 3 days later, there's a rustling in the grave.
Amen.
And Jesus got up. And I tell you what, hey, we are His seed. He is our surety. And as sure as He was betrayed and got up, I get up and go to
the
right to meet the challenge headlong and come out.